time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Health Naturally, etc., which is our brick and mortar store, 915-833-0222. That's for the local number for the store. The difference between Cobiba and cannabis and what the different CBD oils and THC and all of those, what's the difference, cannabis versus Copaiba? Question about black seed, Nigella sativa. But what that is black seed oil, black cumin seed oil. And it has some very good research on it that it helps with the immune system. It's an anti-inflammatory. You can get that almost any good health food store. You can also get black cumin seeds and grind them up and use cumin as a spice in your foods. But black cumin oil, the black seed oil, is used in the alternative health industry. And the main thing is it's an anti-inflammatory. So again, inflammation is one of the main causes. It's the precursor of almost every known disease. And every known symptom of every known disease comes from some kind of inflammatory response. Again, anytime you take things that are anti-inflammatory, you're going to help the body. Things like fish oil. When you take DHA, EPA, those are anti-inflammatories, especially in the brain. They're anti-inflammatories in the brain. Anyway, please check out PrimeLongevity.com. That's Prime Longevity. That's a supplement, the best anti-aging supplement on the market. It's the best longevity supplement. It can support your joint health and your cardiovascular system, prevent cell damage that contributes to premature aging, and it promotes optimal brain function, and it maintains overall health and vitality. It was something I put together that deals with all of the body systems, energy depletion and mitochondrial enhancement. And again, when you look at it and compare the price, you'll find that there's nothing else like it on the market. And then there's a article on there, The 8 Causes of Disease. You can download that article if you'd like. And then below that article is a supplement fact sheet. It gives you the entire ingredient list, and when you look at it, there's just things in there that you don't get anywhere else. There's RNA, 600 milligrams, and pomegranate extract, that's 40% ellagic acid, 300 milligrams. There's acetyl L-carnitine, there's L-carnosine, there's BioCore Optimum Blend of all of the different enzymes. There's the glyconutrient blend that nobody has that, which are the 8 essential sugars. It's got 120 milligrams of lipoic acid. It's got 120 milligrams of CQ10, 120 milligrams of resveratrol. It has calcium fructoborate, L-cysteine, N-acetylcysteine. It has the Boswellia extract, 20% boswellic acid, green tea extract, and L-glutathione, and turmeric extract and cinnamon extract. And the other thing, it has astaxanthin, 30 milligrams of astaxanthin. It has things that you won't find anywhere else. The chromium polynicotinate for diabetes, the vanadium sulfate for diabetes. So those of you that take Prime, you're going to have to monitor your sugars and monitor your medication, because you may have to lower the amount of medication that you're taking. Again, lots of stuff to cover. How do you detoxify the kidneys? Well, there's two herbs that are really specific for kidneys. And one of them is juniper berries, and the other one is cedar berries, and they're very similar. Both of those are some of the most important. Then you have things like parsley and asparagus. Both of those, parsley you can get in any supermarket, asparagus you can get in any supermarket. Now, parsley we like to get organic because it sprays. Asparagus is not as critical to be organic because they don't use much sprays on asparagus. And you can get raw asparagus, you can get frozen, you can get canned. I don't care what kind. Asparagus also happens to be one of the top three foods in the world against cancer. Milk thistle helps the liver.
Oh, the liver.
And anytime you help the liver, you're helping everything else. Okay, the liver is just that main organ that really controls so much of everything and so much of detoxing. It helps to process chemicals out of the body, and it helps to produce new amino acids for the body. So milk thistle is one of the best. And actually, milk thistle has been tested, and it's really quite good against cancer and cancer of the liver. And it's very specific for diabetes. But for the kidneys, Nature Sunshine makes herbal compounds, one called Kidney Activator, and there's a Chinese formula called Kidney Activator that's the TCM, traditional Chinese formulas. There's also some concentrates that are where they take the formula, the regular formula, and they concentrate it very, very strongly, so that one capsule of the concentrated formula equals five capsules of the regular. So as an example, you can get Kidney Activator in the regular or in the concentrate. I usually suggest the concentrate. And then again, eating parsley and asparagus, those kinds of foods. Greens themselves, high chlorophyll, is very specific for the kidneys. And of course, don't forget, one of the main things is drinking healthy water. You want to drink water, specifically 3 glasses of water with each meal. The first glass of water is an hour before each meal. That prepares the digestion, and that can be cold water if you like it. That's when you drink cold water. Then the second glass of water is with the meal. Now, that glass of water needs to be room temperature, and I usually suggest putting in 1 or 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar, or there's a new vinegar that's now made from coconut water, so coconut water vinegar, and it has a great coconut flavor, but that's also vinegar and very similar to apple cider vinegar. And if you have diabetes, I would put in 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of true cinnamon. And we're the only store I know in El Paso that carries the true cinnamon from Ceylon, or now called Sri Lanka, and that's true cinnamon. The other cinnamons are called cassia cinnamon, and they have a chemical in it called curcumin, and if you get too much of that, it can harm the liver, where true cinnamon doesn't have that chemical. So you can use that. And then, of course, drinking the third glass of water is 2 hours after each meal. And so those 3 glasses of water are based around the digestion. And when you drink water like that, it'll usually stop any kind of acid reflux or heartburn or chronic digestive issues, gassy, bloated, especially when you add the 1 or 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar or coconut vinegar. That really enhances the digestion of the food. people don't realize is detoxing is really automatic. The body does that automatically just by its metabolism. So just remembering that when you eat healthy and when you consume a lot of healthy fats and healthy proteins and healthy carbohydrates, and you eat those and you don't consume junk food, and you use foods that are organic and especially GMO free, and you're enhancing the metabolism of your body, then at that point your body is continually detoxing and cleansing. And this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio. I pulled up the differences on the different kinds of CBDs and what's going on between cannabis and copaiba, and what's the difference, what's the scoop, and how to make an informed decision. Because there's a lot of controversy surrounding cannabis and medical marijuana and CBD oils, and does it have THC, does it not have THC. You really want to understand what the cannabinoids are so you can make an informed consent. But their cannabinoids affect what's called the cannabinoid receptors in the human body. And there are these cannabinoid chemicals in hemp and medical marijuana. There are two types of receptors in the human body for cannabinoids, and it's called CB1 and CB2. Some of the cannabinoids are legal, some of them are not legal. Examples of CBD are those found in essential oils. Others like THC, which comes from cannabis and marijuana, are not legal in the United States. The cannabinoid CBD oil, if it's below 3% of THC, then it comes usually from the hemp plant and not from the marijuana true cannabis. But there are three types of the cannabinoids. There's CBD, which is short for cannabidiol, and it's a biochemical constituent of cannabis and the hemp plant. Okay, CBD is made from hemp. It's weaker than CBD from cannabis marijuana. The CBD from hemp is 2 to 4%, then the CBD from cannabis is anywhere from 5 to 30%. All the CBD extractions contain some amount of THC, and THC is the chemical that actually makes you high, and that's again, the more THC, the less legal. But there's some that CBD oils that are low enough in THC to be legal in our country, and that's going to be below 3%. Unless the state has medical marijuana or legal recreational marijuana. But the CBD, what does it do? It's used for pain relief and anxiety, and it's used for seizure disorders and cancer treatments and prevention, neurological issues and diabetes. It lowers insulin levels and cardiovascular health. It promotes it. Now, the THC, which stands for tetrahydrocannabinol, that's the biochemical that comes from the cannabis plant, and it gets you high. It's the psychoactive chemical in the plant that makes you high, especially when smoking it or eating it. And the high is very different from smoking and eating. THC is used especially in cancer, where there's nausea and vomiting from chemotherapy, and you are losing weight, and it's called wasting syndrome. Then the medical marijuana, where you get the THC, it helps to stimulate appetite and helps to get rid of nausea feeling. So it can actually help appetite and memory and mood and sleep. That's THC is what helps people, you know, relax and get hungry. Then there's what's called BCP. BCP is also called beta chirophyllene. And BCP is the dietary cannabinoid found in doTERRA's copaiba oil. And copaiba oil comes from a tree in Brazil. Now, copaiba essential oil contains a very high amount of BCP, which is 60%. Now, BCP is a different type of cannabinoid than CBD, yet it directly affects the same CB2 receptor. Again, there's CB1 and CB2. BCP is a cannabinoid that directly affects the CB2 receptor. Now, copaiba contains a very high amount of the active biochemical BCP, about 60%. CBD products only carry between 2 and 30%. Now, BCP is found in lower amounts in other essential oils like melissa and black pepper, but the highest amount is in copaiba. And what are the cannabinoid receptors? They exist all over the body. And cannabinoid receptors are in the brain, they're in all of the organs, they're in tissues and glands and immune cells. And the cannabinoid system's goal is body homeostasis, to make everything work properly and harmoniously. And the CB1 and the CB2 are the two different types of the cannabinoids in the human body. CB1 resides in the nervous system, connective tissue, gonads, and the glands, and also in the organs. And the CB2 resides in the immune system and most of the structures of the human body. And tissues can contain both CB1 and CB2. Now, CB1 receptors interact with THC to cause that psychoactive high effect. That only comes from the CB1 receptor. The CB2 receptors do not cause any kind of psychoactive high effect at all. And CBD oils and the copaiba essential oil all target the CB2 receptors, enhancing the immune system. CBD oil reacts indirectly with CB2 receptors, where copaiba reacts directly with CB2 receptors. So as mentioned earlier, the CB2 receptors reside mostly in the immune system. So CB2 receptors improve the immunity of the system. It reduces inflammation. It helps to relieve different types of pain. So to summarize the CBD versus the copaiba, the THC comes from the cannabis or hemp plants, and it is illegal in most states. The CBD oil from hemp contains only small amounts of THC, making it legal in all 50 states. CBD oil does not make you high, and CBD oil helps neurological issues, pain, and more indirectly, it interacts with the CB2 receptors in the body. So copaiba and BCP, chirophyllene, is a cannabinoid found very high in the doTERRA copaiba, and it reacts directly again with a CB2 receptor. So it's directly improving the immunity. It directly reduces inflammation. It's the reliever of pain, and it helps with neurological disorders, very strong against seizures. So when ingested, the BCP and copaiba possesses strong antioxidant properties. It promotes healthy cellular function. So the research shows that copaiba essential oil helps both the immune system, your mouth and teeth and gums and healthy cells throughout the body. So you can actually get the copaiba essential oil and put it directly in your mouth and rub your gums with it. You can also put it directly on your skin. It helps with keeping your skin look healthy, and it helps reduce cases of acne. And research has now found that ingesting the copaiba supports the immune system and uterine health, and it helps to ease menstruation aches and pains. So I personally have chosen to use the copaiba oil from that Brazilian tree. It's much less expensive than CBD oil. It's 100% drug-free with no risk of passing any kind of drug test. So if you have to pass a drug test and you take CBD oil, it does have THC, and you could fail a drug test. Because it's not from the cannabis plant, it won't affect any kind of drug test. And doTERRA extensively tests all products, include third-party testing, and they guarantee all their oils are free of pesticides and heavy metals and contaminants. So again, copaiba essential oil, you can use it directly on your skin, on your face. It blends well with Roman chamomile and cedarwood, frankincense. You can ingest anywhere from 1 to 3, 4 drops in water or tea. You can place the drops directly under your tongue. It really supports the cardiovascular system, the immune system. So you can actually diffuse copaibas. Has like a woody scent, and it can be diffused in any diffuser, and breathing that helps to lower anxiety and feelings of anxiousness and any kind of stress response. And so you can put drops directly in your mouth, or you can put it in a veggie capsule. And the copaiba is also an antioxidant to the brain. Again, I like that. It's an excellent oil, and available with doTERRA. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio.
Good morning. My sister-in-law, this past week, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she's got like a 7-centimeter tumor on her pancreas. And I was wondering, is, you know, they're going to plan on doing, you know, the normal chemo?
Right. Let me tell you, for pancreatic cancer, yeah, the surgery I would definitely recommend, because sometimes it's easier once you remove the tumor, especially if it's a solid tumor, and then do a program to prevent it from coming back. Now, of course, they're going to want to do chemo and radiation, because they're going to tell her that it shrinks the tumor and makes the surgery easier. And that's not always the case. But chemo and radiation don't really help much with pancreatic cancer. There is a new form of cancer research that's coming out, and it's called immunotherapy. And it's a new, a newer form of treating cancers, where they take your own white blood cells and they train the white blood cells to go after the cancer. Then they grow more of those white blood cells and then put them back into the body. And what that does is it's actually trained those white blood cells to go after the cancer. It's very promising, and I would recommend, if she can find someone in town that does that kind of therapy, and someone that's experienced in immunotherapy, that's the kind of therapy that I would do. Otherwise, what she really wants to do is get on a complete nutritional support program. That's really quite important to do, a good nutritional support program that's kind of a modified raw food ketogenic diet, very low in carbohydrates. It's very important, but we have pancreatic cancers that do very well, And again, depends on how quick she gets on that. But usually, pancreatic cancer has very low survival rates in traditional medicine. Did they tell her that or anything?
Yeah, they have. You know, they have tried to pick their spirits up, you know, saying with the chemo that it, they weren't planning radiation at this time. Chemo to try to shrink it and then do a process that they call a whip surgery. They take out the pancreas and whatever else might be affected.
Right. They won't take out the whole pancreas. They'll cut out that section. Yeah. I would have her get on a program. One, it could help build her immune system before the surgery and help her handle the chemotherapy that they're going to want to do. There's also things like vitamin C drips. There's far infrared therapy. There's oxygen therapy. And it's really quite important for her to get involved with that right away. There's also some equipment she can get, oxygen therapy, and doing oxygen therapy with exercise. It's called EWOT, but not just the small amounts of oxygen, like that 3 to 5 liters per minute. This is huge amounts of oxygen while they're exercising. Also, have her get maybe a far infrared sauna, either get a pad or one of those tent saunas where you actually sit inside the sauna. And that's going to help her, okay? But thank you so much, and I'm so sorry to hear that. So also, of course, ionizing machines that are very important, using a negative ion. So that's one of the secrets to all forms of health care. Don't forget prayer. That's always important. Thank you so much. Going back in the beginning of the show, I was talking about black cumin seed. I found, again, some more information that the black cumin seed can really help liver function. And, of course, the liver plays a huge role in metabolism. It also has been used to support weight management, and it supports healthy blood sugar levels and keeps the blood sugars in within normal range. It helps your skin. It's got healthy essential fatty acids. It can help promote good cholesterol. It combats external things like fungus and mold. Next article, though, I wanted to talk about is I've talked a lot about vaccines, against vaccines, some of the vaccine safety. There's different vaccines, and some vaccines have more issues than other vaccines. But Robert Kennedy Jr. has been a vocal against a lot of, especially the FDA. Anyway, he was filing a case against the U.S. government about vaccine safety violations. The Informed Consent Action Network was teamed up by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to take on the U.S. government by filing suit against the Department of Health and Human Services for vaccine safety violations. Now, this is big news for all concerned with the topic of vaccine safety. And it turns out that the federal agency has been neglecting their vaccine safety obligations for over 30 years. And the lawsuit brought by Robert Kennedy Jr. is evidence that the vaccine safety, as we know it, is nothing more than a sham. The ICANN, again, which is the Informed Consent Action Network, and Robert Kennedy got together clause of the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 compels the Department of Human Health Services to take responsibility for improving vaccine safety and efficacy, and charges that agency with constant monitoring and proving of adverse event reporting. The Mandate for Safer Childhood Vaccine clause also tasks the DHHS with providing a report on the improvements that are made in these areas to Congress every 2 years. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. and ICANN reportedly suspected that DHHS was failing to meet this responsibility, and they filed a Freedom of Information Act request to obtain the records of the biennial reports. Now, for 8 months, the DHHS tried to blockade their request and refused to provide information. Anyway, finally, a lawsuit had to be filed. The result of the lawsuit is that the Human Health Services had to finally admit that it has never, not even once, submitted a single report to Congress detailing the improvements in vaccine safety in 30 years. And this speaks volumes to the seriousness by which the vaccine safety is treated. It highlights the concern that people should have because the Human Health Services doesn't have a clue as to the actual safety profile of the now 29 doses and growing of vaccines. 29, think of that, 29 doses of vaccines are given to children by the age of 1 year old. And despite being charged with the responsibility of investigating and improving vaccine safety, they have apparently failed to meet even the most basic aspects of this duty by failing to file a single report for the past 30 years. They won their suit. 3 decades have passed since the vaccine safety was put into place. Again, it's not shocking to me. I've been talking about this for many years. And again, the vaccines that I really specifically say do not get are the HPV vaccine and the influenza vaccines. Those vaccines have not proven to work. They've proven to cause many, many side effects, and some of them very serious. Some of the vaccines, like I would suggest when one of your kids is getting ready to go to college, that the spinal meningitis vaccine, that would be one that I would recommend. And also, of course, the rabies vaccine, that's something to recommend. Also, I do not recommend the hepatitis B vaccine, which is given at birth. I think that's malpractice. The immune system is not even ready to go until 8 days at least after birth. So giving a vaccine injection directly at the day of birthing, just within that first hour, I think is terrible. There's a lot of, as an example, huge amount of peanut allergies now, and a lot of that is because most all of the vaccines have peanut oil in them, and when you keep injecting young children with the peanut oil, they develop a antibody against that, and now peanuts have become so allergic that even the smell of a peanut or just the glancing touch of a peanut can cause such an anaphylactic shock it actually can kill a child. So again, there's also all kinds of, there's fetal cells that are in these vaccines, and nobody talks about that, that they're actually harvesting all of these fetal cells, and they use that in the vaccines. In childhood vaccines, a lot of the mercury has been taken out, but in most of the other vaccines, the thermosil is still in, like in all of the influenza vaccines. Again, you may hear people say, oh, they took mercury out. No, they haven't. And again, when you do the research, and not just something that comes from the CDC, but actual true research of independent agencies, you'll find there's still a lot of terrible things. There's formaldehydes and solvents and just mercuries and just terrible ingredient lists in the vaccine. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us. Another question that was online, it was about sciatic nerve. Now, there's some things that you can do. As an example, the copaiba actually works with the pain receptors. So you can get copaiba oil and take that and rub that directly on your lower lumbar, right about L4, L5, and then down into the sciatic notch in your buttock where that sciatic nerve comes out, and then it goes down your leg. You can rub some of that copaiba in there, and it'll soak in and help with pain. Lipoic acid and CQ10 and resveratrol, those are some very unique chemical compounds, vitamins, that also help with inflammation and pain. They're very high doses in prime longevity, so that can help. Now, a technique called prolotherapy or sclerotherapy, and if you can find a doctor that does that and you get those injections into the lumbar region of the spine and into the sciatic nerve, that's one of the best techniques that I know of that can help alleviate the pain. One of the best exercises, if you can imagine this exercise, you get a good sturdy chair and you face the chair, and with the foot that the leg that is the sciatic pain, that side, you put that leg and put your foot up on the chair, and you put the foot so that the foot is actually not just the heel, but the whole foot is on that chair in front of you. Then you kind of, with the other foot, kind of go backwards as much so that you're stretching that hamstring on the foot that's up on the chair. And then what you do is you slowly lean forward, and you use your hands and put it on the chair to support yourself, but you try and get your chest so it stretches, you're stretching that sciatic butt nerve, so that you're now leaning your chest, or as close as you can, leaning it on that thigh of the leg that's up on the chair. And then what you do is you slowly extend that foot that's on the chair so that you almost are trying to straighten that leg while you're still leaning over. And it'll specifically stretch that area of the sciatic nerve where you're having the most pain. And when you can stretch that, it's important, no matter how much pain you have, to continue to actually do exercise and stretching. So it's very important. But if you can kind of picture in your mind, you're standing in front of the chair, you put one leg up, and then the other leg you put back so that you're kind of stretching the leg that's on the chair. You lean over, put your chest on the thigh, use your hands on the chair just to support yourself, and then slowly just lean backwards by straightening the leg that's on the chair. So you're kind of stretching that hamstring and the buttock muscle on that side. It really can help. You're also kind of stretching the iliotibial band on the side of your thigh. So that can really help with sciatic nerve. Boswellia, or boswellic acid, that comes from frankincense, you can take that internally. The copaiba that works on the CBD, take that internally. That works on pain. And boswellic acid, you can get that. That's in most of the formulas for pain management. Serrapeptase and protease are both enzymes that can help dissolve excess proteins in the blood that can increase your pain. So taking those enzymes are also very good. So there are things you can do for pain. Another one is finding somebody that does good body work and have them stick their elbow right in that sciatic notch and do some work around what's called the head of the trochanter, or that hip bone that right there when you feel it when you stand up down at your side. Again, when you have somebody do some body work, whether it's on the floor or on a table, you get on your side with the sciatic pain with that up, you know, not down on the floor but up, and then you bend that knee so that it's up towards your chest, and you stretch that knee like that, and it stretches the sciatic nerve in another way. So that could really help. let's see, helping to control menstrual cycles. One of the things that's important to understand, ladies, is that when your menstrual cycle is heavy, or when you're having endometriosis, or a lot of heavy bleeding with clotting, or you're having cysts or fibroids, all of those come from low iodine and low thyroid. In naturopathy, we recognize the connection between the thyroid and the menstrual cycle. So almost any woman that comes in that's having menstrual cycle difficulties, I put them on Lugol's iodine. They start with one drop a day, and every 4 to 5 days you add another drop until you're taking anywhere from 3 to 5 drops, depending upon your weight. 5 drops is for a 150-pound person or more. That will help. Now, I also add vitamin D3 at least 5,000 units a day, maybe 10,000 units a day, and vitamin K2. And I like at least maybe 200-300 micrograms per 5,000 units of vitamin D. We add the vitamin K2 with the vitamin D, and that's going to help. And then also we use pure vitamin A, because vitamin A helps to convert T4 to T3 in the thyroid. Oftentimes it's the conversion of the thyroid to the different forms, T4 to T3, T3 to T2. And you have to have vitamin A for that. And so that's a really important thing. Also the mineral selenium. Selenium aids in that conversion also of T4 to T3. So these are the things. You take iodine, you take vitamin A, not the carotene forms of vitamin A, the plant-based, but the true vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin K2, and the mineral selenium, and you're going to notice that your menstrual cycle immediately starts to improve. It becomes less heavy, less clotting, and the cysts and everything begins to stop and go away. Endometriosis pain also goes away. So hopefully that will help for those women that are having menstrual disorders. Again, you're going to get information on this radio show because I pride myself in being able to answer most questions. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you very much for joining us. There is a pretty big issue going on in the environment because there's a huge rise in the number of people that are taking antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, and it's potentially posing a threat to the environment, according to new research. And some of the research we've done at the University of Portsmouth and School of Pharmacy and Biomedical Sciences. And what they're finding is that our aquatic life is being bathed constantly in a soup of antidepressants and anti-anxiety agents. And antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications are being found everywhere, in sewage and in surface water and groundwater and drinking water and in the soil. And it's accumulating in the wildlife tissues. They're found in the seawater and the rivers, and their potential ability to disrupt the normal biological systems of aquatic organisms is extensive. What's happening is the wildlife are being bathed in these drugs for their entire life cycle, not just periods of time, but their entire life cycle. And laboratory studies are reporting the changes on how these creatures reproduce, grow, the rate in which they mature, their metabolism, their immunity, feeding habits, the way they move, their color and behavior. And the research was published in the Journal of Psychiatry Bulletin. And they're finding that there's definitely problems in the sea life changing their entire metabolic and behavioral because of these chemicals that are in the water. So the suggestions from the article were to improve the water waste treatment plants to comply at least with the European Union. Their water treatment regulations are much higher even than in the United States, to take out these synthetic estrogens and lower them to acceptable levels. They also want to teach more patients to be taught more about how to use these pharmaceuticals. They want the pharmaceutical industry to adopt a greener approach to cradle-to-grave with drugs. They want to reduce the amount of prescriptions for antidepressants and anti-anxieties in favor of natural counseling, changing your diet, putting in proper probiotics, taking the right nutrients. There's all kinds of research now that shows that the probiotics in the intestine, which bacteria can control behavior. So taking things like sauerkraut and apple cider vinegar and fermented beets, all the fermented foods, tempeh, things like that, that's what's going to help change behavior. Also, exercise is one of the best treatments for any kind of depression or anxiety. So they're wanting people to stop jumping on the Prozac bandwagon and somehow to do things that are more natural so that they can lower the issues in the environment of what's happening to waterways where all these fish are. So it's really quite critical right now that the waterways are becoming so polluted. Another article showed that microwaving drastically reduces the nutrients in food. And there's been a lot of controversy about microwaving over the years. One group saying that it actually improves the food, but the industry claimed that microwaving cooking protects the nutrient content of foods. But anyway, there's been new research that has come out. There's a number of studies. Three studies of the historical food composition have shown that between 5 and 40% of the nutrients, especially minerals, in fresh produce, and other study found that similar decline in the vitamin content of our foods. So they also found a Scandinavian study, when you take those deficient foods and you microwave them, that it actually decreases the amount of vitamin and mineral content that becomes usable. A Scandinavian study done showing asparagus spears as an example found that microwaving caused a complete reduction in vitamin content. There was another study on garlic. As little as 60 seconds of microwave heating was enough to inactivate the allicin, which is in the garlic, that the active ingredient against cancer. A study published in the Journal of the Science of Food and Agriculture found that broccoli and cauliflower zapped in the microwave lost about 97% of its beneficial antioxidants. There was another study in Australia that showed microwave caused a higher degree of protein unfolding, and those proteins go through and cause leaky gut syndrome. Those proteins break down in microwave where they don't break down in conventional heating. And so the microwaving they found can destroy essential disease-fighting agents, as an example in breast milk. Do not microwave the breast milk for your baby. So that's critical. No microwaving of breast milk. because it can lose so much of its enzyme activity and antibodies that help the immune system. So these are really important. Basically, you don't want to microwave your food. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. I wanted to mention this article that came out. This is from the National Institutes of Health, and it was a project known as the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study. And they enrolled over almost 12,000 children from age 9 and 10, and 2,100 of them were twins or triplets. And the study is following these children throughout the young adulthood until 21 years of age. And what they're finding is that all of these digital devices and other electronics, which are, of course, at the top of the list for a kid's wish list for holiday season, and if you're considering upgrading your teenager's cell phone or getting your preschooler their first tablet, you might want to reconsider, because the early results of a groundbreaking study confirms that many parents' fears, and it confirmed those fears, about the effects of all of that screen time. They're finding that some of these kids are anywhere from 7 to 9 hours staring at screens per day. A lot of the data is not in yet, but early results from brain scans and MRIs are that they are alarming. And just as many experts and parents alike have long suspected, all that screen time is impacting not only children's mental health and emotional development, but actually changing the physical structure of their brains. And researchers discovered that children who spend more than 2 hours a day in front of their screens get lower scores on thinking and language tests. And teenagers, by the way, spend 4 to 5 hours on average with their mobile phones attached to their brains almost all day long. And that finding should be enough to give most parents pause. The situation even is more serious. Those who spend more than 7 hours per day in front of the screen. MRIs of these children showed that premature thinning of the outermost layer of the brain, the cortex, and when compared to their peers who don't use that much technology. And the cortex is responsible for sensory input and the type of higher order function that make us humans, how to process information. What they're finding is that we are, in essence, giving our kids as guinea pigs for uncontrolled experiment on all these digital devices. And it's actually come out that the companies know this information, and they're actually designing their devices to be more addicting. And they found that they know exactly how the brains work, video games, or whether it's your iPhone or tablets or iPads. They're actually designing all of the apps to be more and more addicting. They're finding out that our children are in this uncontrolled experiment. And with the studies coming out about the MRIs and the CAT scans, they're finding that this screen time can actually affect how the brain develops. So they're saying, look, consider stopping what parents can do. And it's hard because the kids, you know, of course, want all these things. They spend time just sitting in front of the TV, whether it's playing games or whatever. What you can do, as an example, you know, there are things that kids can do where if they learn to play puzzles, there are some Donkey Kong and Sudoku games and math games and Candy Crush can actually help kids develop more focus and concentration and help their brains develop better. So, you know, dads, go outside, come home early and play with your kid, you know, take them outside and play ball. There's all kinds of things that you can play with, Lego toys and building blocks and, you know, really develop a good brain function. So I'm going to suggest that's what you want to do. There's one thing I want to talk about that's quite controversial, and this is coming from the American College of Pediatricians. And they're urging healthcare professionals and educators and legislators to reject all of these policies that condition children to accept as normal as a life of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex. They want facts, not ideology, to determine reality. And number one that they're saying is that human sexuality is an objective, biological binary trait. You either have XY or XX chromosomes, and they're genetic markers of male or female. XY is male, XX is female. They're not genetic markers of a disorder. There is what's called gender dysphoria. And what they're finding is you are either born male or female. And human sexuality is binary. No one is born with a gender. Everyone is born with a biological sex. Gender, which is an awareness of one's sense of oneself as male or female, that's a sociological and psychological concept. It's not an objective biological concept. I have seen transgender and young children and where that really has made a difference in their life doing that. But I've also seen where the medical profession now has a transgender industry, are pushing too quickly, especially on young children, to start putting them on hormones and conditioning them. One of the things that's happening is we have all these hormone disruptors that are in the environment. When you eat foods that are laced with pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, every one of those chemicals act as estrogen, and they affect the hormonal development in children. So when you're a parent and you're not eating organic food and you get pregnant and you're eating all of these regular GMO foods or foods laced with the pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, and all of these cleaning products that are being used in the home, all of the plastics that are being used, all of the outgassing from synthetic chemicals in your homes, whether it's the carpet or the walls or the paint, all of these chemicals are hormone disruptors. So when you have a child that's being disrupted constantly, when they have checked these young brains, the young children, and done hormone studies, these young boys that think they're girls, when they've tested them, they have no testosterone in their body. And when they begin to develop and balance out those hormones again and develop testosterone, begin to revert back to boy behavior. It's important to know that possibly that there's just this hormone disruption. That's what's important. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine, are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us next Saturday morning, Natural Solutions Radio, with me, Eliezer Ben-Joseph. I'm a traditional naturopath. Also check out healthnaturallyetc.com. And this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be back next week with another show.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915 915- 833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.